Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Final hour of Grant and Danny from West Palm Beach on a Friday, live in the 80-degree weather of Florida at spring training. Brought to you by Van Meter Homes. Join the family and go to vanmeterhomes.com today. Let their families build a home for yours. Trey Turner is going to be with us in just a couple of minutes. Yet another important member of this Nationals club this season. Kind of been a slow day on the NFL front, other than the Robert Kraft news, which is obviously massive. But this is generally the time of the year where players start to take care of some of their own. We start to hear some franchise tag rumblings. The one thing we've gotten this week is it sounds like no tag for Le'Veon Bell. The Pittsburgh Steelers are moving on from him. We also know, speaking of Pittsburgh, that Antonio Brown is going to be traded. He's not going to stay there. Now, he and Drew Rosenhaus are pretending like,
right,
if you were with us a couple days ago, that both sides came to this agreement.
We decided mutually. Everybody's involved. We're on the same page.
Everybody's
here.
Very happy. The Bucs have announced today that they're going to keep Gerald McCoy for the 2019 season after a report came out about that last night. So I guess that's the phase of the offseason we're in, that we're going to keep this guy. Do you think we get an announcement or any kind of report from the Redskins that Bruce Allen or one of their front office execs like Doug Williams says anything on Josh Norman? Or are they just going to never address it and he's either going to be here or gone? Because Josh Norman's the kind of guy I feel like the team should come out.
If and announce that he's staying.
Exactly.
Almost, yeah.
You don't need to send a press release. Nobody does that. But where is the story in the Washington Post where a writer got a hold of Doug Williams and he said, yeah, we're going to keep Josh Norman and here's why. Everyone's expecting us to cut him to get this money, but we're not going to do that.
Because we love the player, or he's a foundational piece or something like that. You'd expect something to that effect, wouldn't you, if the plan is to keep him as it is?
I don't think so. Yeah. Why not? Trey Turner, shortstop with the Washington Nationals, is joining us live in West Palm Beach, fresh off of the practice field. Trey, great to see you again, man.
Good to see you guys. This was sprung right here.
That's rapid,
man.
Fire. You thought you were going to sit down and get really comfortable.
You had no time to ease in. No time.
It's all right. Let's do it.
Let's get going. How was the day at the office? Give people an idea. I think most fans listening have probably never been to camp, of like what your schedules are like, because each day seems like it's its own entity.
Yeah, I think each day you try to attack something different, whether it's the weight room or hitting or fielding, whatever it is. Try to get here as early as I can so I'm not late for anything. Get here probably like 6 o'clock in the morning, everybody starts rolling in. So I try to get here pretty early, and then sometimes get a lift in before practice and get some treatment, whatever it is, whatever I'm feeling, get a good meal, and then get that stretching and the baseball stuff starts.
What do you want to work on, kind of focus for you, spring training? You're always got to fine-tune and get ready to play, but was there something, hey, I want to get better at X?
Yeah, I'm always trying to improve everything just because I feel like I can impact the game, in all three phases, offense, defense, and base running. So I'm always trying to continuously, pick apart those things and see where I can get better. But, for me, I think this offseason I want to do kind of redo the swing a little bit and focus on that, just be a little bit more consistent. I felt like I had a pretty good year, but I feel like there's, a lot more in the tank. So just fine-tune that and then we'll work on that.
Going to that, talking about tuning your swing, a lot of people would love to do what you did last year,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So what get into the specifics. What are you thinking about?
I just think, in 2016 and even some in 17 when I got hot, I was hot for – a long stretch, long periods of time. Felt like last year it'd be, game I'd play well, next game didn't feel good, and just kind of in and out. And, I think the best players can continue those good streaks for a lot longer. I've done it at points in my career, but last year I felt like I struggled with it. So just trying to be, more consistent. So, when I find that swing, find that stroke, I think I can just – continue to do it for weeks.
One thing that I don't know that you'd overcome it, but was part of your deal last year, was occasionally be at the top of the order, and then sometimes he'd be in that 5-6 spot. I don't know if you act any differently, but normally in the 5-6 spot, you're driving in runs and you're hitting home runs, top of the order, you're trying to get on base. Is there a paradigm shift for you at all? Did that make things difficult? Do you know if this year there's kind of a philosophy of where they want you to be and how they want you to approach the lineup?
I'm not going to speak for this year yet because we're still working on that, and you know that's not my decision. I know Davey will eventually relay to me, you know, what the goal or the game plan is. But you know, last year I think it definitely changed switching back and forth. You know, I think when you're in that six spot, seven spot, you know, they don't mind walking you, they don't mind if you steal a base because you know you got that pitcher coming up behind you a couple spots. So when you're one or two, you know, we had some bangers back there. We had, you know, Rendon and Zim and all those guys that could drive me in. So I think I walked a lot more last year. I think my walk percentage was almost double, if not triple, what it had been in the past, and I think that had to do a lot with them just throwing me a bunch of junk and not caring if I walked or not. So I had to learn to, you know, lay off of it. So I think I made strides in my game for sure because of it, but it definitely was an adjustment.
So on that walk thing, I mean, it's so hard because you want this prototypical leadoff hitter, right? Like, you know, who takes a million pitches and fouls a bunch of things off, his little, you know, the slap guy. Well, that's not you. You've got, you know, 20 homer power or even more so. Mm-hmm. But you can also steal a bag as good or better than anybody in the sport. Is it almost sometimes like you want to be all things to all people, but yet if you can find a way to just be Trey Turner, the best version of, that's pretty good too. How do you balance that?
Yeah, I want to be myself. You know, I think over the last few years I've had a trouble, you know, trying to balance, you know, taking pitches and this and that. And, you know, it's funny. I think when I hit the best, I walk the least. So I don't know if that's necessarily the, you know, the game plan you want to go with. I think the best players do everything. You know, sometimes they're going to hit the first pitch out of the ballpark. Sometimes they're going to go down 0-2 and then walk. Sometimes they're just going to walk in general or whatever it may be. And I think the best players, you know, don't ever think about that. And I don't think a leadoff hitter necessarily should, unless that's the, you know, type of player you're trying to be. Are you trying to be the guy at the top of the order that just grinds and sees a ton of pitches, slap the ball, and do that sort of thing? So, you know, for me, I just want to be the best player possible, and I think that means I need to do a little bit of everything. I need to take my walk when they give it to me, and I need to be able to drive the baseball when they give me a pitch to hit.
Trey Turner on Grant and Danny, Nats spring training. I feel like we watched the team pretty closely. When I looked up the numbers today, it jumped out at me, and I said, wait, I forgot. You played in every single game, 162 last year.
162, dude.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big deal. I mean, you got to take pride in that, obviously. At what point during the season did that become something that kept you from getting out of the lineup where they go, well, he hadn't missed one yet, so keep him in there? Or was it just something that accidentally happened?
I think it accidentally happened for the most part until about probably 120 games in or so, and then – you know, when you get to that last month or so, it's, you know, I kind of wanted to go for it. So, you know, I think I started 158 or something like that. I played in the other four, I believe, is the stat, which, you know, for me, like you said, I take a lot of pride in just because being out there every day, being able to contribute, be healthy, and I think that's something your teammates appreciate too. So, for me, I think that was a pretty cool stat, and not a lot of guys do it, I think. Last year I saw maybe a handful of guys did it. So, you know, to say you did that, it's a lot of luck too. You know, you got to be healthy. You got to not get hit by a pitch. You know, you're not going to foul a ball off your foot. You know, whatever it is. But, you know, I'm pretty proud of that.
I think for a young guy like you, it also speaks, though, to you've learned how to take care of your body, how to do some of the work when nobody's watching, how to eat and do things properly at night. How seamless has that process been for you? And what is that like now for you, knowing kind of what has to happen for you to be ready at 7:05 every night?
You know, for me, I don't think it's changed a whole lot. You know, I believe the year before I probably could have done it as well, just as long as I didn't get hit by that pitch. You know, I think, you know, some things just are freak accidents, and I don't think that means, you know, somebody's injury plagued or anything like that. So just got a chance to prove it to everybody else. I felt like I could do it. And I just got a chance to prove it, and last year I did. But, you know, I think each year you learn little things. You learn what's good for you, what's not. This year I'm gonna, you know, focus on this more, and you get to learn those things by watching your teammates. You know, I watched him go through his routine every day, eating. A lot of these guys that have, you know, dealt with injuries, they've had to change their, you know, daily routine and not something that I necessarily need to add, but you can pick their brains and see, oh, I like that, I don't like that, whatever it is. And Max, how he prepares, you know, on pitching, whatever it is, and just continue to learn and use those things throughout your career.
Do you have goals you set for yourself? Because I know every day you can do something different, as you touched on. Three phases for you to help the team win. You're capable of that, which is a compliment to you. But is there a number you say, I want to steal 60, I want to steal 70 bags, or I want to hit this number of or draw this number of walks, just because it's as a way to kind of focus on your daily to kind of get to those goals, because you know it'll ultimately it'll help the team win? Or do you not even do that?
I don't really have goals, just because, you know, like, let's say I want to steal 70 bases and I steal 50. Is that bad?
That's pretty good still, right?
I don't
take
know.
50.
So, or, you know, whatever it is. I want to hit 20 homers. You hit 18. Is that bad? I don't know. I mean, I think that you're pretty close. So, in my mind, I never want to set goals, just because I feel like push yourself and see what happens. And at the end of the year, if you competed each and every pitch, then I think the stats will take care of themselves. You know, for me, goals are that, you know, did I give away an at-bat? Mm. Did I do, you know, something like that?
Like
along
process oriented.
Yeah. If I gave it all I got each and every pitch, like, oh, you know, in the ninth inning, we were up by 10, and, you know, I went up to that bat, and I wasn't feeling that great, and I had a bad at-bat. Well, you know, did I give that at-bat away? If I don't throughout the course of a season, you know, I think then you have a lot better stats. So, you know, for me, I guess those are goals, not necessarily numbers, but just, you know, focusing and continuing to try to grind the whole year.
I know that I'm only giving you like two categories of – I'm basically letting you look at one piece of a puzzle that's 1,000 pieces. But what would you prefer, 19 home runs, 76 stolen bases, or 29 home runs, 49 stolen bases?
29 home runs, 49 stolen bases.
Because it's more home runs?
Yeah.
Okay.
So many more runs there.
Well,
49 home runs would have led the big, or 49 stolen bases would have led the big leagues last year, and then you hit 30 homers, you're a lot more dangerous hitter. So not only are you the best base dealer, you're a lot more dangerous.
But if you're stealing 80 bags in this lineup, I mean, you say it's more runs. I'm not convinced of that.
Oh, maybe it's not.
Your on base percentage is probably higher. You know, there's some peripherals there, and you got guys. You think Rendon and Zim?
From a team standpoint, I probably would take the 70 stolen bases. From an individual
standpoint,
I want the homers,
sense.
But. You know, I think that, you know, I'm capable of stuff like that. So that's why I've been working on the swing. I want to be able to drive the baseball, and then when I do hit a single, then, you know, I think the legs are always there, and as long as I continue to work on that as well. So, you know, the goal is to push those two numbers as high as possible, and whatever they are, they are.
Would you do this off season for fun? Anything different now? I mean, you still kind of just chilling at the house and hanging out, or did you get out and about a little more?
I golfed a little bit more this off season. Got out there a little bit more than I had in the past. But for the most part, you know, it's basically the same. Traveled a bit. You know, a lot of friends getting married.
That age.
So I did a lot of traveling because of that. But
Facebook became so unfun for him this year.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly right. But you know, we had a good time. We, me and my wife had a great time. We were traveling a bunch, and then we played a little bit of golf this off season. So, you know, other than that, everything was basically the same. You know,
what are you guys binging on Netflix
right now?
She's into Shameless. She loves Shameless.
Great show.
And then she's
is
got.
Is she up to date though? There's 9 seasons.
No,
there.
she's on like seven. She's on like seven. But then I pop in and watch that every once in a while, and it's a ridiculous show. And then she's got me on New Girl as of right now. I've been watching that, which is. It's all right. You know, I enjoy it. But
is that Zooey Deschanel?
It's Zooey Deschanel.
So you know more than I do. I don't even know her name. But, you know, that's the show we're watching right now. We're trying to get through that one. And then who knows? I need to catch up on Game of Thrones. I know that's coming out here pretty soon.
In April. You got a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Where'd you leave
off? I'm on, like, season 4, though. I watched 4 seasons last offseason, then I haven't watched any in a long time.
Look, so you want to keep up with all the guys,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, I'm way behind that. But if I could catch up by the time those episodes come out, then that would be nice.
Last thing for you, Clubhouse, we've been talking to a lot of the guys. You get some new faces in here, a lot of veterans. It seems like a really good mix, though. I mean, I don't know how much
great
time
vibe,
you've
right?
gotten to spend around Dozier yet, but with Howie Kendrick, it just seems like some good dudes.
Yeah, I think over the last, you know, four years, I guess, that I've been here, I feel like every year we sign, you know, a great dude, or when we get a trade, you know, it's a great person. I feel like, you know, the staff and the front office has done a great job of getting a lot of good quality people in here and guys that, you know, get it and have fun, but also work real hard. And like you said, Howie Kendrick and Rendon and all these guys, Dozier, that, you know, they're good baseball players, but they're also they're fun to be around. You know, they're not super serious in the sense that, you know, they're yelling at you. But, you know, the clubhouse is great, and I think we have got a mix of young and old. You know, we got a lot of 20-year-olds, and we got a lot of, you know, veterans that have been around and played a lot of baseball. So it's fun to see, you know, those two collide and mesh together pretty well.
Trey, awesome, buddy. Appreciate the time. Then have a good camp.
Yep. Thank you,
my friend.
Enjoy yourself. There's Trey Turner, who's getting ready to get set for a new season with the Washington Nationals. You're coming back with Grant and Danny on the Fan. Spring training, West Palm Beach. It is beautiful. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Our spring training coverage brought to you by Van Meter Homes. Join the family. Go to vanmeterhomes.com today. Let their family build a home for yours. Shout out Chris Kinert and the good people behind the scenes at 106.7 The Fan who made it possible for us to stay at the Hilton West Palm Beach. There were no drug deals outside of our window.
Mm-mm.
There were no arrests in our parking lot. There was no shady restaurant with made-to-order food attached to our lobby. It really was lovely. Nobody woke me up at 2 in the morning to ask weird yes or no questions. We were not in an outdoor entry motel where someone had been in our room and left blood and hair behind a few days earlier that was still there. None of that happened, and for that we are grateful. All we wanted to do was survive. We're not asking for much. We just wanted to survive.
We thrived.
We didn't even need comfort, but we got comfort.
Went to a pool.
No, you didn't.
Yesterday.
By the way, the pool at our hotel, which I did not go to. Did you pack a bathing suit?
Oh, sure did.
That was smart.
Knew there was a pool. Knew it was going to be in the 80s. Knew I was going to go in the pool, so I packed a suit, baby.
Very smart.
Packed a suit.
I did not, but I went out to the pool last night because the bar area out there was beautiful.
Oh, sure.
They had the little canopy, like, beds
around
the bar
yeah.
with fire near them. Mm-hmm. Just so romantic and lovely. Now, I was by myself.
Stuck with Dar, yeah.
So it didn't necessarily help me that it was so romantic and lovely. And just laying there reading Astro Ball. But I will say, that is a spot and a half.
Yeah, that place is amazing.
Junkies are coming down next week to continue our spring training coverage. And then Baseball Dukes is going to come down. I believe he's trying to time it up. He's coming down in like 2 weeks because there's a symposium on the value of VORP and WAR and why it's now an outdated metric in his mind.
Sure, sure.
So he's talking to some analytics folks, and that's going to take place in Jupiter, I believe, about 20 minutes up the road.
Fireside chat at the Jupiter Police Station, I believe, where they have a lot of goings-on at this point in time. It's a community relations thing.
I believe Mark Lerner and Mike Rizzo have both requested permission to come attend the event and watch. So I don't know if they're going to or not.
Limited availability.
They want to see Baseball Dukes. They asked for an audience with him when he came down. He said he didn't have time, so they're actually going to try to come see his seminar.
So we'll see what happens. We will see what happens. But I told you this yesterday. I did the jokes. I will tell you this. It does feel like being a junkie, being a sports junkie, when we stay at the Hilton Hotel down here. This hotel space is amazing. It's so nice. It's so gorgeous. But that's what it feels like. It feels like we're an important part of the station, and that's cool. Last year it didn't feel like that. Last year it felt like if we died, our program director would have said, oh, well, tough break.
Couple of NFL notes for you. Devin McCourty, the New England Patriots, is going to play in 2019. The 31-year-old said he didn't know for sure if he was going to play this coming season after winning the Super Bowl, but he has decided that he will stay on in New England, one of their veteran, important, vital pieces. $9.5 million this upcoming season. It's got to be hard to retire when you know your team's probably going to be back in the Super Bowl next year. I think the same thing with Rob Gronkowski. He may well walk away, but when you know, real good chance we're right back in the Super Bowl next season, it's got to be hard to step away.
I know, right? It's because the grind is now, right? For the guys and all the people that are at the highest levels of their sport, this is the grind. This is the part to get ready to play. Playing is fun. It's the stuff that nobody sees. It's the long run. It's the weightlifting. It's the plyometrics, the yoga, all the different exercises to get ready. That's where the grind is.
Max Scherzer's the ace of the Washington Nationals, and we're pleased to have him with us here on Grant and Danny live in West Palm Beach after his workout. Are you done for the day now? How was the morning work?
Everything was good. We had a good day today, just getting ready to make the first start tomorrow, so all systems are good.
It was picture day today, right?
Yeah, I love pictures, man.
So is that like fourth grade where like you put on your turtleneck and you go in? I mean, did you get a haircut and shave this
morning?
Yeah,
what'd you do?
Honestly, the worst part is when you come out here and it's a morning, like there's so many like light background materials. It's so bright in your in your face that it feels like you're just cheesing and your eyes are just closed.
So a couple years ago, we were a part of like the picture day for some reason, not as getting our photos taken.
It was a nice idea in theory
to make
us part of the assembly line for you guys at six in the morning when you're just so miserable.
People don't get it. So you guys literally literally will have like 10 stations to go to at like 6 in the morning, and basically you hold your name is on a piece of paper, and then it's like for MLB.com and MLB Deportes, and this is what's on the big screen. There's nothing fun about that for you. It's an hour and a half of that's work.
And we're with the 11th station.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Just wear it that day. You just come to the office knowing today's like baseball's fun. I get paid really well. This is one of the days where I got to punch the time card.
Yeah, the early part of spring training, there's a lot of things that go on where, I mean, you're getting photos, you got interviews. There's just a lot of things you're knocking out here at the beginning of spring training before the games start going.
Max Scherzer with us here on Grant and Danny. Time is undefeated, right? They're taking down everybody that's been great. How do you fight it? Because you are so far defying the aging curve that usually happens with pitchers. You've been excellent here for your entire time with the Nationals, not slowing down in any capacity. How do you fight it?
Well, I think the real aging curve is, I think, that happens at age 36. I think that's when we, when you look at baseball, historically, kind of that's been the line when you really see guys, their bodies change and everything. And so for me, I still feel like I got a few years left of pitching to me in my prime. I can continue to get better. My body still feels great. I work with different little things, change the program where I need to see fit. But I go out there and at 100% every single day. And when you do that, you feel great.
Was last season, in your opinion, your best year of your career?
Yes. Yeah. And something I've been proud about is just continue to get better every single year, going out there and feel like I can execute pitches in a different way, have more different types of executions, per pitch. So it's not just having, say a fastball or, a changeup. It's being able to execute a changeup where I want it, how I want it, and different counts I want to be able to execute it in. So it's more than just having different types of pitches. It's having different types of executions as well.
We talk on the show in all sports to guys all the time. I don't know how often we talk to guys who are definitively future Hall of Famers, and I would put you in that class.
I appreciate it.
have you thought about that at all?
Not really. That's not what motivates me.
I understand that, but does it ever come up where you go, I might get to give a speech at Cooperstown? Like, I think if you retired now, you'd be a Hall of Famer. Have you considered that?
I mean, you do interviews, and obviously people say that. I don't look at myself like that. The previous generation, those are my heroes, of my pitching idols, of watching the game. And, it's impossible for myself to ever think of myself in those terms. And so, for me, I don't like it. For me, I want to go out there and win a World Series. To me, winning a World Series, that's what motivates me. That's why you put in all the work, is to be able to, go out there and pitch well for your teammates. Not for, individual accomplishments.
Do you feel like this is your clubhouse now? You're kind of the elder statesman, the guy who could speak up and grab someone by the cuff if need be. Do you have that sense? Because I think a lot of guys feel that way.
How about you? Well, honestly, it's just I'm a voice, one of the voices in that clubhouse. Even in my time in Detroit, there was times where, everybody's got a role on the team. Everybody has, fits into that puzzle in some form or fashion, and everybody has a voice. And so I don't think it's just being a veteran, because there's other guys in the clubhouse as well that their voice is just as important as mine. Are there times where my voice might ring a little bit stronger? Yes. And as I've gotten more experience and I've failed at different things, I feel like I'm able to relate to so many different players in different ways because I've had experience. But for me, it's being about being a leader and being a leader by example.
Max Scherzer on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. As you look at the construction of the rotation, Anibal Sanchez, who you pitched with in Detroit, is coming off of a terrific year, and he's an awesome guy. It's going to be hard for him to replicate Atlanta, but maybe he can give you a boost in the middle of the rotation. You need something out of Fetty he hadn't quite given you. Ross is back. Hellickson's back. How do you view the back of the rotation? Because last year it got thin quick.
Well, I pitched with Sancy in Detroit, and for the fans of DC, you're really going to see somebody who really knows how to pitch, and that's one of the things I've really tried to articulate to our young guys is, hey, this guy really knows how to pitch. When I was in Troy, I really learned a lot about pitching and understanding sequencing and understanding, you know, how to change speeds on pitches. I think Sanchez actually probably one of the best pitchers I've ever seen being able to change speeds on his changeup. I mean, he can throw multiple changeups at different speeds, and you're going to see this little butterfly changeup where he can throw it, you know, 72 miles an hour, and you're going to see some absolutely ugly swings. I mean, I've seen it for years now. For me, he's a great guy to learn from. You know, not every pitcher pitches the same way, and you try to find different things from your teammates. You find your strengths, and for me, Sanchez's a great. He's got a great mind and great work ethic to learn from, and so, you know, that's one of the things I've tried to stress to our other pitchers here in camp is, hey, this is a great guy. He's great in the clubhouse, great glue guy, and learn from him.
So when Grant mentioned Sanchez, your face lit up because you know him and you like the guy. And I know you raved about him, and you did so just now. I feel like there are a few guys like that all of a sudden, the new additions. Dozier seems like a mensch. Mm-hmm. Getting Howie Kendrick back is a big deal. That's it's like a room full of baseball rats, kind of. You know what I mean? Like a bunch of guys that really love the grind and kind of, you know, are in on that. Do you get that same sense that it's a room full of pretty good dudes right now?
Yeah. It'll be tough to really get to know the hitters yet because just the way the spring breaks.
Sure.
But, you know, for me, getting to know Yan and Suzuki right now. You know, for me, that's I've had some really good conversations with those guys over the past week of just trying to understand myself, what they've been through, you know, what they see, and it's kind of I really had a great relationship with Matt Wieters and understand we were really on the same page, and I really tip my hat and I hope he gets signed here soon. But it's going to be great to be able to work with some new ideas, some new things that they see that, facing me that, you know, different ideas that other teams are taking against me and try to find a way to combat that. So this is going to be a great year, great opportunity for me to continue to strive to get better and learn something new about myself.
Last one quickly. You guys last year had everything in terms of how you were built. But there were so many little things you guys didn't do well, you know, all season long, base running outs and – it was kind of inexplicable at times. How do you clean that up this year, and has that already started?
Yeah, that's already started. That was one of the things that Davey, I think, identified as, you know, going into the off season. And, I met with him a couple times over dinner, and that was one of the things he stressed was, you know, we have to, like you said, you know, on paper, you know, we were a really, really good team, but, you know, we didn't have results. And everybody in that clubhouse, you know, was ticked off about that. And, you know, when you start trying to dissect what we wanted to change coming into 2019, yeah, it was the little things. It was the base running. And, you know, even down to the littlest detail of, look, I'm accountable for the base running as well. If I'm on base, I had to be able to run the bases right. There was two situations last year where, you know, I created outs on the base pass that I really don't want to do again in 2019. And I think that's going to be something that's stressed upon everybody, that everybody has a role to play into the little stuff. And every little detail that comes about baseball, when you touch that field, you have to be accountable for it, be ready for it, and be ready to anticipate for it. So I think that's what Davey wants to instill upon us, really hammer that home here in spring. And I know over our few team practices and team drills, we've really been getting after it, and I think it's good for our ball club.
Max, awesome with us as always, man. Have a great spring. Appreciate the time, dude.
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Great seeing you again. Max Scherzer, one of the greats here on Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back, and as always, thanks for listening. Man, if you're a Nats fan, are you getting spoiled today? You are welcome. This has been fun for us.
Run through it, Grant. Do it.
Well, we've had Mike Rizzo.
Okay.
And Max Scherzer.
Okay.
And Steven Strasburg.
That's it, probably.
That's the top two starters in the rotation. Of course, yesterday we had Patrick Corbin as well.
There's your first thing.
Do not forget about Anthony Rendon, your third baseman, and Trey Turner, your shortstop,
well,
and
just the left
Ryan
side
Zimmerman,
the
your first baseman.
Good part of the right side.
Now, yesterday with Brian Dozier, the second baseman.
That's a whole info.
Of course, Adam Eaton, the right fielder, was also on the show today. Don't forget about Trevor Rosenthal out of the bullpen, or Sean Doolittle, your closer.
Oh, the closer, yeah.
We've gone nine deep with Nat studs today. if you missed any part of the show, and I understand life happens. You had to go to work. You had a job. You were in and out of the car. Your obligation is not to listen for four straight hours, although we'd prefer that. You're going to have to podcast this sucker at thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com/audio. Our spring training coverage over these last 2 days brought to you by Van Meter Homes. Join the family and go to vanmeterhomes.com today and let their family build a home for yours. I loved your question to Scherzer about age because people forget he's 34 years old. Most guys at 34 have become a shell of themselves already.
With all due respect to Max Scherzer, 36, that's a number two. That's a,
he made it seem like he said, I got two or three more before 36. He might actually think that because he's a robot, but do you know that he has led the league in strikeouts three straight years? He's led the league in innings pitched two of the last 3 years. He's led the league in complete games three of the last 4 years. He's led the league in shutouts twice in that time. He's led the league in wins. That's not a stat I care about, but four of the last 6 years. He's led the league in whip three straight years and four of six. He's led the league in strikeouts to walk ratio three of the last 4 years. What we're seeing, three Cy Young awards, four top two finishes in Cy Young balloting, six times in a row in the top five in Cy Young balloting, is a run that is epic, and that's why I'm talking about the Hall of Fame. Do you think if he retired today, he'd be a Hall of Famer, or does he need a couple of more gem seasons?
He, I think, would fall short, barely. It's a different era that he's pitching in right now.
Don't you think it's getting easier to get in, though? I mean, he's the most dominant starting pitcher with Kershaw of his era.
I think, and as dumb as this is, I still think there's enough voters who think this way. If he's much closer to 200 wins, he's at 159 career, I think that's going to matter. It shouldn't, because you're right. You look at the last 10 years, there's been no one better in the sport.
I hate you for saying that, but I think you're probably right.
I'm not talking about me.
I know what you're doing. I think you're probably right because the counting stats aren't there, but what I like to call the bold black on his baseball reference page.
Oh, look at all the bold.
That means you led the league in a category.
So much highlighted.
If you go back to 2012 to right now, there has not been a better pitcher in baseball than Max Scherzer, and I'd put him over Kershaw in that category because of the last 2 years.
Yeah, because of the ability to answer the bell every fifth day. 33, 33, 34, 31, 33 starts. There you have it. I think a couple more, if you just take the average or even the bottom end of his worst year over the last six or seven, right? Add a couple of those, I think now you're talking about surefire. But here's the thing. The fact that we can have that conversation, we're spoiled. He's excellent. He's so good. He's so competitive. He's everything that you would want. And he demurred a little bit when we were talking to him just now. That is his clubhouse. A number of guys have said it, both in the media that cover the team down here. A couple players have kind of hinted at that. That's the guy. If you don't run your pop-up out, if you don't do something the right way, you miss your cutoff man, you're pouting on the mound, whatever it is, that's the guy that's going to talk to you. That's the leader. That's the kind of the lead goose here, going into the headwind, and what a guy to have it be that.
You know what I loved? He knew how many base path errors he had last year.
Of course he did.
He said, I had two plays last year I wanted back running the bases.
The rest of the minor leaguers yesterday, Grant, are on the field. They're getting ready to walk off. Max is walking out to go to the bunting field.
Yeah, he did. He bunted for 30 minutes.
And he's
most of the guys were in the building.
Yeah, he's different.
You can't teach that. I mean, that's why he got paid $200 million. That's why you gave him the extra year of that contract. Rizzo said this earlier. I thought it was a great quote. He said, when your best players are your hardest working players, that's when you know you've got a chance. Max Scherzer is your best player, and there's no one in this facility that's going to outwork him.
No, 100%. And it's well said. I mean, I took a terrible picture of him middle of last year when things were kind of going south. He's just running with his headphones in around construction sites close to our station, you know, on an off day, but just grinding. He never stops working. He's relentless. You watch him throw bullpens down here if you're lucky enough to come down to check out the spring training facility. He's tinkering with things, asking guys how things look and feel, and he's going back and forth with catchers and watching other guys watch him. It's a big deal, and it's awesome to have.
Yeah, it's great for us to be a part of Nat's spring training, and it's great for all the sponsors that get to be a part of the Washington Nationals. And there is one particular sponsor we are thrilled to welcome to the 106.7 The Fan family this year, and that is our friends, Danny, who for over 100 years, the members and contractors of Steam Fitters Local 602 have set the standard for the mechanical and HVAC industry. This year, 106.7 The Fan is proud to announce Steam Fitters Local 602 as the official broadcast partner of the Washington Nationals Radio Network. So what this means is they will be presenting and providing for you nightly broadcasts with Charlie Slows and Dave Jaglers, Dave Jagler all season long. And without Steam Fitter 602, wouldn't have been possible. incredible to have them joining us.
The best in the HVAC industry with, in my humble opinion, I'm biased, I know, because I'm a Nationals fan, with the best of the broadcast industry, our buddy Jack Hicks.
By the way, the Nats broadcast with Charlie and Dave is the best in the country. It's revered. Those two broadcasters are both special. If you're Steamfitter 602, we're lucky to have you, but you're lucky to be a part of those two guys as well. That's a hell of a broadcast.
It's certainly a good pairing. And the Steamfitters are the men and women who provide you with the installation, the troubleshooting, repair, and maintenance of the equipment and components necessary to operate all sorts of stuff. In and around heating and air conditioning, electricity generating processes, refrigerators, freezers, coolers in grocery stores, convenience stores, food processing, the list goes on. These are the experts in the field.
So they're local and they're national, by the way. So you got your issues, your problems in Washington, D.C., they'll take care of you. They're out in California as well, along with their partners, the Mechanical Contractors Association. Washington, D.C. provides the highest level of training via their five-year joint appreciation training program, which utilizes a combined on-the-job and in-the-classroom approach. So, again, thank you to Steamfitters 602 for joining the team. Hopefully, this year, we're all going places. The Washington Nationals, 106.7 The Fan, and our friends at Steamfitters 602. Let's put a bow on the show next. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Biggest story in sports today as we welcome you back from spring training on Grant and Danny is that Robert Kraft was busted in a prostitution and sex trafficking sting in Jupiter, Florida, about 20 minutes from where we are at West Palm Beach right now, brought to you by Van Meter Homes. Join the family. Go to VanMeterHomes.com today. Let their family build a home for yours. Adam Schefter reported that he's been told by a source Robert Kraft is not the biggest name in this sting. What does that mean?
Oh, man.
I mean, because it's Jupiter, Florida, which is, I think, the home of the PGA, but it's where they have a lot of their events and things going on. Tiger Woods, that's Tiger's backyard. Everyone's floating that name. I don't think it's fair to, like, speculate people. But what does it mean that, first of all, I feel bad for Tiger Woods if it's not him because everyone's just screaming your name at the top of their lungs. What does it mean that someone's a bigger name than Robert Kraft? That's a pretty damn big name.
There aren't that many big names that are bigger than Robert Kraft right now. That's the owner of the multiple time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots. That's your first leak. That's your headliner right there. So I don't know. I mean, a lot of golfer, celebrity type guys live in and around Jupiter. I don't know, man. I'm with you. I think speculation is unfair. But I'll do it off air. I'll tell you that much. I'm not going to do it now.
Yeah.
As soon as we hang up here and say bye to everybody back there in D.C. and listening around the country on the radio.com app and say thank you to Thommy and Jack Hicks and everyone else, I will spend the car trip to the airport speculating as to who it might be based on this list that I've just called up of famous Jupiter, Florida residents.
Oh, no. Can I see that list?
I'll show it right to you right now.
Okay. Go ahead and DM me that.
Ed
Bouchette, who covers the Steelers in Pittsburgh for the Post-Gazette, says that GM Kevin Colbert has told NFL Network that three teams have already contacted the Steelers about Antonio Brown.
I knew it.
Not surprised, really, to see that there's a market for him. Again, he's the best wide receiver in the sport. So is there going to be a bidding war now for Antonio Brown? I doubt it. I think one of those teams emerges as the best fit. The Steelers probably zero in on that team. They're going to have a lot of teams they don't want to trade him to. They're not going to want to trade him in the conference,
right,
to a team they're going to have to play in the playoffs. There's no chance they're going to trade him within their division. They probably wouldn't want him in a place like New England. Anybody who's got a chance that they'd have to see them in an AFC title game or something like that. I'm thinking you move Antonio Brown as far west as possible and ideally and perhaps to another conference.
This is the thing we talk about this all the time. If I go, hey, Grant, what's up with your rubber band around your identification cards? Well, I just called and asked you. I'm interested in your identification cards now. See what I'm saying? You could call. It doesn't mean they have offers. It doesn't mean that, oh, yeah, we got multiple first-round picks or we're two pick of the litter. Three teams may have called and said, hey, can we get them for nothing? Or, hey, do you want to just unload them to us? The relative interest is there. I mean, I'm sure people will call. I'm sure someone will bid for the services of Antonio Brown. But it's always the, what does interest actually mean? You know, how serious is it? Does it necessarily mean that they've gotten a blow-your-socks-off offer and they're choosing their pick of the litter? But I'm with you in general. If you can control this process, which the Steelers are now trying to seize control back, you don't want them going to Cleveland or Cincinnati. But Cincinnati wouldn't care because they're not going to be any good. But Baltimore or the Patriots, someone you're probably going to have to see in an AFC title game, you want to send him, you know, away so that it really can't haunt you all that often.
Danny, I'm going to do this Friday to end the show what I've done. Three straight Fridays now. I want to ask whether or not when you and I crack the mic on Monday at 10 a.m., Bryce Harper will have agreed to terms with a major league team. The last two Fridays, I have said no. I'm going to say yes.
That's real interesting.
I think it's time. Remember, last year J.D. Martinez signed 4 days from right now, so it could be early next week, Monday, Tuesday. I am going to go out on a limb, Danny, and I'm going to say that Bryce Harper will absolutely be at a spring training complex getting ready to take the field by this time next week. So why not just say it happens this weekend? It's going to happen by midweek next week. I'm sure of that. I'll say it happens this weekend.
The first time we did this, I said yes. The second time we did it, I said no. I'm going to stay with no on this one. You and I will come in on Monday, and he will not have a new baseball team. That is my prediction.
Do you still think he ends up with the Phillies like I do?
I do, too. I think it's right now a staring contest, like old school, right? It's Will Ferrell versus the deer on the SNL sketch. I think the Phillies are the only team that's even approached the vector right now in terms – and I have no information – in terms of years, dollar figure, whatever. And Bryce Harper's going, no, that's not the buy-it-now price. The buy-it-now price is X. And they're going, no, we're not doing that. Nobody else is bidding against us. We're not just going to bid against ourselves. And there's a staring contest. They know the longer they wait – maybe the less they have to go up. That's your boy's thinking right now.
I say Phillies, 10 years, $320 million. I think it happens Wednesday or Thursday of next week. But I'll just say why not this weekend.
I say 10 years.
Hello, boys and girls and babes. Hello.
I say 10 and 330 because they got to beat Stanton. That's they're concerned about beating everybody. There's lots of beating going on. I think it's got to be 10 and 330, and I think it happens not this coming week but the week after. I think spring training started, games are underway, and they finally go, all right, fine, screw it.
So you're talking about – by the way, you realize opening day is in March this year.
Oh, I know.
You're saying it's going to happen on, like, March 6th?
Yeah. I think everybody's screwing this up.
If it doesn't happen but before March 1st, I'll give you $100. You don't even have to give me anything.
No, we don't have to do that.
It's going to happen before March.
Dude.
Think about it. J.D. Martinez last year was on the 26th of February.
You've got six more days of February.
Yeah, that's a lot of days.
6 days.
6 days. It's happening.
How long are you going to wait to call your baby? 6 days?
6 days.
6 days.
I do want to quickly acknowledge the passing of Nick Cafardo, who writes about the Boston Red Sox in the Globe. I got to meet him several times in passing at different Major League Baseball events. He was covering spring training like you and I are.
Mm-hmm.
He was outside of the clubhouse, just standing on a patio area, literally like we're sitting at right now. And he died yesterday of what is being said an embolism. I had to look it up, but an obstruction of the artery, typically
really sad,
a clot.
Man.
So sad and devastating. I looked at his Twitter account, and he was just busy writing stories about Steven Pierce, you know, and things that are going to happen with the Red Sox. Just living his life, being one of the truly respected baseball journalists in the country. So sudden, man. And it's just another reminder of how precious this thing is and how quickly it can all end. So thoughts and prayers with his family and his friends. You're actually flying home with us. I didn't think you were. Have you guys, by the way, gotten texts about our flight?
No.
Because I have not, and I'm wondering if somehow – remember when they canceled my flight out here because I flew out a day early?
Yeah.
I wonder if there's any chance they accidentally canceled my flight back
also. Do a mobile check-in, my friend. Do a mobile check-in to get yourself – because what I've got, because I have a delightful, calm, and correct iPhone, it's now the ticket to board the plane is in my wallet.
Mine
wallet.
Too.
It's right here. See, this is in my wallet on my cellular phone.
That's very nice.
So all I got to do is show this thing that's in my wallet.
All right, I'm going to try to handle that as well.
Get yourself a mobile check-in.
Chad Dukes versus the world. I've been told that Baseball Dukes has the terms on the Marwin Gonzalez deal, not just the years and the AAV. He's actually got the breakdown on the salary, the workout bonuses, some of the things in terms of escalators
Why
for games
it's a great
played.
Value. I mean, he's basically talking about positional value. Given a guy plays different positions,
mm-hmm.
if he plays 80 games at second base, it's a great deal. If he doesn't, it's not as good. He's got the reasons.
Dukes also did a thorough investigation into multi-position players.
Oh, yeah.
And guys who are elite-level defenders at second and left field and how rare that is. And he's got that breakdown from 2 to 4 today coming up next on Chad Dukes versus the
Plus
World.
Plus a retrospective on Jeff Rebele's career, the original gangster. That's CDBTW next. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.